Hi, my name is Amy Pepper and I manage the Children and Young People Service at Survivors Network, which is the Rape Crisis Centre for Sussex. I manage a team that supports children aged 0 to 18, lots of them through the criminal justice process, but some through therapeutic means as well, and recently through group work. So talking to you today about what it means to receive a disclosure from a child of sexual abuse and the things that we want to consider as adults when doing so. So in an ideal world, we want to avoid triggering children into making spontaneous disclosures because that's really traumatising and harmful for them. So we've had lots over the years where they've maybe done a topic in PSHE, which has brought things up for them, or they've watched a play or they've been reading a book where sexual abuse is depicted and they felt really, really distressed, and the disclosure has come about from that point. Now, obviously, we want children to disclose their experiences of sexual abuse, but in an ideal world, we want to avoid traumatising them into doing so. So thinking about if you are bringing those kind of topics or reading those sorts of books, providing those trigger warnings in advance, and then kind of maybe making note of those children who look kind of uncomfortable and maybe starting the conversation with them from that point, you're much more likely to get a disclosure that feels kind of planned or that they feel emotionally prepared for. They might not make it there and then, but they might then know that you're a person that they could tell something to if they wanted to. But if you are the person that a child has chosen to disclose to, then they've chosen you for a reason. They feel some level of emotional connection to you. And I think that's the thing to really center and is probably the most important thing to remember. They've chosen you for a reason. And their reason isn't necessarily because they think you're going to take the best notes or that you're going to give the best evidence if their case goes to court. It's because they trust you. And it's a huge step for them. So various people will want different things from a disclosure. The police obviously want things to be recorded really accurately. Social services want lots of information. But from a survivor's perspective, they want to be believed and to receive empathy at that point of disclosure. So they need things like reassurance and understanding, and not to be peppered with questions. In fact, I'd probably say, where you can avoid asking multiple questions, because if it is going to go down a police route, then you potentially end up muddying the waters. So asking the bare minimum of what you need in order to be able to share further information, but very much just be led by them. Be really honest and transparent about what you're going to do with the information. Likely that you have policies and procedures that you need to follow within your organisation. So make sure you're doing that. But be really transparent about that, the fact that you might need to take steps to keep them safe. And sometimes where possible, if you feel like a disclosure is coming, do that before the disclosure happens so that a child knows what they're doing when they share that information with you. It might mean that they don't share the information at that point, but it's really important that they kind of know and are able to make that decision for themselves. From my experience, they will still choose to disclose. Because they're really looking for somebody to do something and take some action. They might not always like the action. They might feel really scared about what the action is. But I think if you center the fact that you're going to be trying to keep them safe, then that's really, really powerful. Making sure you're looking after yourself as well after taking disclosures is really important. Thinking about who you might go to within your management structure, what self-care you might implement for yourself, what things you might need. Because it's a difficult position to be in. It's a privileged position to be in, but that doesn't mean that it's not hard and it's not difficult. There are things that you'll want to follow in terms of making notes immediately after. I'd say if you've ever tried to make notes of something that somebody's saying, like in the moment, it's really, really hard to keep up with them. So I'd possibly say the most important thing is to be present with the person disclosing and to give them as much attention as you possibly can. So actually don't necessarily try and take notes verbatim whilst they're talking, because then you don't look present. You don't look like you're receiving. You're not doing that kind of active listening that they need. So where possible, be in the moment with that person and then record as much as you can after they've left the room, and try and get things as accurately as possible. That would certainly help kind of future proceedings if they went ahead. But those would be my kind of top tips of how to receive a first disclosure from a child.
Thank you, Amy. And going back to the PHSC lessons, it's also important to alert the wider staff those lessons are going to go ahead as well, because the child might disclose to the person they feel most safe with, and that might be their reception teacher or a TA or a meal time supervisor. So it's really important that the wider staff are aware that those lessons are going to take place as well. And maybe the first PHSC lesson could be about how to make a disclosure or who to approach or how what process would take place, so that they're really well equipped as well.
There's lots of groundwork that needs to be kind of laid. These topics are really, really difficult, and definitely they will bring about conversation, so it is really important. Something as well would be maybe also sending things home to families, because there might be families who are already going through a criminal justice process, whose children have already had these experiences that some safeguarding staff might know about in the school, but not every single individual teacher will know about. So I think giving children the option, if they know that that topic is coming, to arrange a dentist appointment for that day. Mm-hmm. You don't necessarily want them to have to leave the lesson once it started, because obviously then that raises questions amongst their peers of like, well, why couldn't you be in that lesson? So you need to give them as much information up front as possible so they can make a choice.
And we also need to make sure that we're including our LGBT children as well, who may perceive these lessons differently to everyone else as well, and make sure they're included. And attend, if you're splitting through gender, attend the one they want to attend as well.
100%.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you.